What's happening, everyone? Kira and Ben back again, and we're back with another Diablo Cody flick, Lisa Frankenstein.
It was good.
It was good. All right. So if you caught us last week, we did cover Jennifer's Body. This week we were covering her newest film, Lisa Frankenstein. Now this movie was released back in February. It has just become available on streaming. I watched it on Peacock, Ben.
I watched it on Peacock too.
Yeah. So if you guys have Peacock, it is free. Now, if you had listened to our Jennifer's Body episode, we had kind of talked about the style that Diablo Cody writes, and I really think she embraces that more here. What do you think?
Oh, I 100% agree. I thought it was really well done. There was a part where they introduced the monster,
mm-hmm.
and my wife was like, "Oh my god, he looks just like the zombie from Hocus Pocus."
Oh my god, he did. Yeah. He didn't talk to.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh my god!" I was like, "You're 100% correct." So I love that. I thought that was awesome.
That is awesome. I do love that. So this movie follows our main protagonist, Lisa. And she, tragedy has stricken her and her father, and they are now moved to a new town and she's going to a new school. She's a senior in high school, and there's like a mystery shrouding, why her mom is dead. And she kind of is like alone, and she's kind of odd, and she's kind of quiet, and she has traumatic muteness, and she kind of is trying to find her place. And her sister, or her stepsister, Taffy, is kind of the opposite of that. She's cheerleader. She's very well adjusted. Everyone loves her. She's beautiful. She's kind. And I think it's really interesting to look at the dynamic of Taffy and Lisa when we have just covered the dynamic of Needy and Jennifer. Because I think when you look through what a popular cool girl is back from the early 2000s, when Jennifer's Body was released, 2008, the popular beautiful girl on the surface is all these things, right? She's pretty. Everyone likes her. She's beautiful. She's successful. She's smart. She's driven. All the boys want to date her. But on the flip side of that, what all the girls see is they see this like very like evil kind of like not good person. And you can kind of see this between Needy and Jennifer. Jennifer portrays herself as one thing, but she's actually a succubus. And she's like actually this crazy person who's trying to tear down Needy every time she can get. And then when you look at the relationship between Taffy and Lisa, and you kind of see like now through this like 2024 lens, you see a more well-rounded female, and you see in Taffy that you can be nice and you can be all these things, and maybe that's all you are. And like you always see Taffy uplifting Lisa, you always see Taffy supporting Lisa, you always see Taffy trying to do what's best for Lisa. And I think it's a very different dynamic if this movie was set in a different time.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Like Taffy is like legitimately a good person.
A good person.
And you when you're watching it, you think she's not. Like you think there's going to be some underlying thing where it shows that she's not really this good person. But through the whole movie, she's actually very supportive of her sister, her stepsister. I don't think she says stepsister, but then like she starts saying sister.
Yeah.
So she accepts her all around. She's like, you know, and she doesn't want to tell them what happened, but she feels obligated to tell them what happened so that they'll leave her alone.
Exactly. And like, you really do see her pushing for Lisa at every point. She's like, "Lisa, I'm going to take you to this party. Lisa, let's do this. Lisa, let's do that. Oh my God, you're borrowing my shirt. Look, it's so cute. Lisa, mom's so mad that you broke the mirror. Like, come on, get up." Like, and like, you really do see Taff defending Lisa all the time. And I think it's so interesting because then you kind of have this like very stereotypical stepmom figure.
Soccer mom,
stepmom figure in Janet. And I think I do want to talk about the character of Janet because she's very interesting. And I do want to talk about the character of the dad because I do think it's very interesting. Like, because like you see this all the time in this like kind of story where you have our protagonist who is stricken by tragedy and she's like overlooked. And then you have the beautiful stepsister and the beautiful stepmom and the kind of like quiet, bumbling dad. Is he like this because he's so grief-stricken that he can't move forward, or is he really just this oblivious?
I got the hint that he was that oblivious.
He felt so oblivious. Yeah, I was like, was, are so you oblivious. Dumb?
Yeah, he was. He was non-caring. His whole character, like, I was staring at it going, "You are the biggest jerk I've ever seen in my life." I mean, he was non-caring, didn't care. He had to be told that he would be upset about his wife. Like,
yeah.
The one who died. I was like, what? No one would have to tell me if my wife, I won't spoil what happened to the wife. No one would have to tell me to be upset. You know, I'd be upset.
You'd be upset. And like, I thought too, like, you hear Taffy, it's kind of glossed over, and Taffy says it very quickly. But she says, you know, my dad got married after 6 months after his first wife died. Yeah. 6 months.
Yeah.
After she was brutally murdered.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. I mean, I do see that a lot, because a lot of people, like, they can't be alone.
Yeah.
They get that, like, needy dependency where they just cling on to the first person that they're with. Yes, I am talking about people. I'm sorry. It does happen.
It does happen. We see it all the time.
You know, I'm not trying to be stereotypical or false anybody into that, but that does happen.
It does happen. It happens all the time. And I think it's so interesting because, like, and then, okay, so we're going to, I want to jump around the story just because we're already talking about the father. So Janet, the stepmom, she does mysteriously disappear in the eyes of the movie. She disappears. Us as the viewer, we know that she does get killed. We know that she's murdered.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I find so interesting is once she's killed, the dad, they're doing the police report, and the dad can't even describe her.
No, he doesn't know the color of her eyes, doesn't know the color of her hair. I mean, the daughter's the one, like, you know, her hair is like that of a dog. It's shiny. Yeah. I could feel bad for Taffy. I'm like, the father's just like, what color were her eyes? She's like, hazel, but she has,
green contacts to emphasize them.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, you know, the daughter clearly, truly loved her mother, whereas the father just wanted someone.
Yeah, and, like, and I thought that was so interesting. And then, like, I don't know where he goes for the rest of the movie. Like, you see him in that scene, and then he's just gone.
Yeah, he shows up at the ending. I mean,
at the gravesite, but, yeah. He's like, oh, let's go get hamburgers with this, like, found family that he has of, like, him and Taff, but...
It was Fuddruckers. I used to work
there. Oh, so Fuddruckers. My bad.
That, by the way. Hey, Fuddruckers makes good burgers.
Hey, Fuddruckers does make good burgers. I actually tried to... I went and saw Dune in IMAX, and I wanted to sneak a Fuddruckers burger in.
Because they're yummy.
They are. I will say, it is a good burger. Okay, but back to Lisa Frankenstein. So there, Lisa goes to a party with Taff, and she's like, I don't drink. And she has a crush on this guy, Mike. And Mike is like, the cool guy. He writes the lip journal, and he has a leather jacket, and he listens to cool music, and he's like that artsy bad boy that, like, you can kind of, like, envision, right? And so Lisa, being as alternative as she is and has feeling, as she says, has feelings, she has this crush on him. She works at a dry cleaner, and so she sees him at the party, and they're kind of talking, and then this girl, who I would assume is his girlfriend or keeper, I don't know. She's like...
Entourage,
yeah. She's kind of just this girl that hates Lisa for no reason. But she gives Lisa a drink, and there's something in the drink. It tastes... Drugs.
Psychosomatic drugs.
Yeah. So there are drugs in the drink. So now Lisa's fucked up, and she doesn't drink. She's messed up, and she kind of like this, like, what I'm... typical nice guy would look like nerdy nice guy comes up to her, very Revenge of the Nerd vibes to me, and he's like, oh, let me help you, let me take you to go sit down, and then he's like, wants to have sex with her, and she's like, no, and then he's like, you owe this to me. First of all, what?
Don't lead someone on if you're not gonna finish.
Oh,
up.
God. Yeah. And I
hate
was
that line.
Oh my God. So I live at home, and I was watching this movie with my dad. And me and my dad were like watching him lead her up the stairs. And my dad goes, I swear, is he really going to rape her? And I literally am like, I swear to God, Dad, I cannot watch this. And luckily she gets away. He does want to start it, does not. So she tries, and she's obviously drugged, and she's taking a shortcut through the woods. And in the woods is the cemetery that's abandoned. She likes to go to, and she sees the gravesite that she loves to go to. And it's like this like guy. And you don't know his name.
No, at the beginning of the movie, they show like an animated scene.
How he gets there.
Yeah, how he gets to be in the grave. He gets hit by lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah, after he is in love and the girl leaves him for a guitarist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and he's walking and gets hit by lightning. And then, so Lisa goes, oh, I wish we could be together. And us as the viewer kind of get that she's saying she wishes that she was away from her surroundings. She wishes she was away from this awful night that she had and her mom being dead and like this new life that she has. The gods, the higher powers, they don't see it like that. They strike lightning down and he comes back to life.
Yeah, he does. And it's funny because he seeks her up.
And he seeks her out, and it's like he's drawn to her. And I think their friendship of like, of her like understanding what he needs and him trying to like find his place, because he does love her. I would assume that like his spirit was like watching her all these times she went to the gravesite and was like talking to him and like giving her her mom's rosary and like doing all this stuff. And so I do think that he really did genuinely love her.
Yeah, I think trauma brings people together.
Oh, absolutely.
He was traumatized by the love leaving him, and she was traumatized by her mother being brutally murdered. So
and like, almost getting raped.
Yeah, so that kind of brought his soul closer to her soul. That
yeah,
makes sense?
It does. Yeah. It does. And so now he's seeking her out. And what I love is like he gets stronger and better with electricity, and Taff, who has won a beauty pageant, has this tanning bed that just electrocutes you. So this is kind of like their little like machine that they use, their little like experiment machine that they use to bring him back to life. And I like how every time he goes into the machine, he looks more and more human every time.
Yeah, yeah. It like rejuvenates him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's coming back to life, and he's missing some body parts though. He was electrocuted.
Yeah, his hand and his ear.
And his
I didn't want to see that was traumatizing for me.
So he's missing a few extremities, most notably his ear and his hand, because we can see those. And he needs them. So we see Janet being awful to Lisa, right? Janet blames Lisa. Janet doesn't think Lisa's worthy. She thinks she's attention seeking. Janet's a narcissist, but believes that she's a empath.
And a victim.
And a victim. God. There's no one that has a bigger victim complex than Janet. So, and now our creature, our monster, who doesn't really understand but wants to protect this woman that he loves, kills Janet. And now, and then, but to be fair, Janet was going to send her to the psych ward where she works, which I thought was also crazy.
Yeah, she was like upsetting her and getting her all worked up and scaring her. And he came to her defense.
Yeah. You know? And I also thought it was insane, this like very like costume-esque like nurse's outfit that she was wearing. I was like, oh, okay, Spirit Halloween, go off. Like, I thought that was so funny. But so this is the first person that they kill, Janet. And they sew on the ear. I think it's very funny. Has her earring still. And they hide the body. Now, they are able to get away with this for about a weekend because Janet is supposed to be at a nurse's conference. So they have a weekend to get away from this. Now, they also need a hand. And so they decide to kill the boy that tried to rape our Lisa. So they kill him. And now they're a little sloppy with it. Lisa's a little sloppy with it. And there's some evidence that maybe Lisa was the one. There are some witnesses. Again, Mike's entourage person, lackey, was like, I saw her put a note in his locker. So we do have that. But our monster now has his hand. They are trying to get away with the murders. What I think is so funny is when they're in the active crime scene, and then the cop is like, this is an active crime scene. And then he just picks her up and throws her in the hole.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. Like, he's just like, yeah, whatever. And he kills her.
He just kills her. I thought that was hilarious. Oh, my God. I thought that was so funny. So now Lisa's like, okay, I'm going to go to jail. My life is over. We've been killing people. And she decides that she's going to lose her virginity to Mike because she's not going to go to jail a virgin. And she gets to Mike's and she hears laughter and heartbreaking. Taffy is in bed with Mike. Mike has been the guy that Taffy has been sneaking out to go see. And Lisa is mad at Taffy because she goes, you know that I liked him. You know all this. I thought we were sisters. Sisters don't share everything. And now we have our creature and he's there. And he kills Mike in a way that's probably painful for you. Doesn't matter to me. He chops his dick off.
Ow.
Very funny. We've learned that the creature also doesn't have a dick. So very funny. And then, but what I like is that you see that sister.
Traumatizing.
Oh, I would say it's not that traumatizing. You don't see anything.
Ow.
Okay, Ben, we want to talk about traumatizing. Okay, we're going to talk about traumatizing. Ben, have you ever seen the movie Hard Candy?
No.
Okay. Then let's not talk about traumatizing.
Okay.
If any of you guys have seen Hard Candy and you want to relate it to this scene in Lisa Frankenstein, one is brutal and one is a shadow.
I get it. But ow.
Ow. Okay, whatever. Ow. So, but what is great about this scene is that you see Lisa then protecting Taffy, and she says, "Don't hurt her." And she actually gets her out of the house, and she drives her away because they have this great bond. The bond between Lisa and Taffy, I think, is fantastic, and I think it's really a high point of the movie.
Yeah, I thought, like, when she opens up in the car, yeah, she says, I did see you helping me. I did see you support me. I did see you love me, and it's not unheard of. And then she gives her the beads that she gave to the monster to show the love.
And, like, protect her.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. And, like, she really does, like, I don't know, she really does. Their relationship and the care that they had for each other, I thought, was very well done, very well written. And I think it was really a high point to me of the story. So, obviously, now they're on the run. She does attach his dick, though. They do have time to attach the dick. And then she's like, you know what? I'm going to die. So then she electrocutes herself and dies and burns alive. And then we kind of see, like you had said, the dad and Taff kind of looking over at her grave, kind of like, oh, so sorry, like giving the flowers. And then something catches Taffy's eye, and she kind of is taken aback by it. And it's a little inscription that says beloved wife. And she goes, well, she wasn't married. And then we see when we see that Lisa is still alive, obviously, that her and the creature are now married.
Yeah, I don't think she's alive. I think she's dead.
Well, no, she's dead, but back to life.
Reanimated.
Reanimated. Yeah. Exactly. She is not alive. We watched her burn alive, and then she reanimated.
Yeah, because she's covered in bandages like a mummy.
Yeah, because like she was burned, so she has like all her burns. I thought the movie is very fun. I get a lot of Heather's vibes from this movie.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, like, if you like Heather's and you like the premise of Heather's, you'll like this. If you like Jennifer's Body, you'll like this. This is really funny. It's very, how can I say it? Like, girl empowering, women empowering.
It's definitely female focused. It's definitely female led, and it is empowering for women. But it's empowering not in the sense of like, oh, kill those around you. It's empowering in the sense of like friendship and sisterhood and bonding. Like, to me, that was the highlight.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it shows like just like, all right, so when she changes and she starts being more confident and starts wearing more stuff,
yeah,
like that her sister was, Taffy was like had for stuff, you could see the change in her. And like a lot of times, like in movies, you'll see that, and then the person that's popular gets mad.
But she,
yeah, like Mean Girls.
Yeah.
And in this one, she's really supportive. She's like, oh my God, you look amazing. Like, and there's one part in the car where her mom's missing, she's crying, and she looks over, she goes, wait a minute, isn't that the shirt I just bought? And she's like, yeah. She's like, do you mind? She's like, no, you look great in it. Like, you know, it was stuff like that.
And it's like this constant support. It's like, and then like you see Taffy being, not Taffy, you see Lisa then comforting Taffy in the car, like you had said, and being like, hey, I noticed all of this stuff. Thank you. And like you see that repercussion, and you see that replication. Sorry, I can't speak today. And that bond that they make, and like you see them loving and protecting each other, which I think you don't get a lot. And like, it's interesting because like all the other relationships in Lisa's life fail her. She has two relationships that don't fail her, Taffy and the one that she has with the monster. I would say her relationship with her father is a bust. Obviously with her stepmom, her mom is murdered. The boy that she likes doesn't like her. Another boy's just trying to use her. There's like one, like Taffy's friends, I would say, are fine. They don't really have much interaction. They're just like whatever Taffy says they support and like go along with. And then we see that one other girl, that lackey girl of Mike's. And I don't know her point, but like she just hates Lisa for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was more or less like she didn't want to share.
Yeah. She didn't want to share.
Because she's a roadie. Like that's, you know, she don't want to share the affections of that guy. She had deeper explorations of what she hoped would come about with that guy.
And Mike was ugly.
Yeah. I didn't understand the whole, like, I mean, maybe it was the bad boy look, but I don't know. I was like, whatever. I mean, if that's who she likes, okay. You know, and like Taffy said, you know, it wasn't supposed to happen. I didn't mean it for it to happen, but it happened, and don't hate me for that. Try and be happy for me.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, oh, I can see that, you know?
And I do think that Lisa, like, was happy for Taffy. Like, I do believe, like, deep down, like, they did, she was happy for her. But, of course, like, your feelings are going to get hurt. And, like, that happens. And that's okay. That's part of growing up is, like, learning how you, like, deal with your emotions and, like, your feelings and, like, all everything that goes along with it. And I do believe that, like, her and the creature, like, the monster kind of had this, like, better connection. I did get, again, Heather's vibes from this. Kind of when you see JD and Veronica in the Heathers kind of become this, like, killing duo. You have Lisa and the monster kind of becoming this, like, killing duo. And you can see where the monster will always take it further, just like JD did in the Heathers. He always took it a step further. And you kind of have that, like, Lisa Veronica as, like, the voice of reason.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. She tried to be the voice of reason. I get it.
I mean, she still was killing people. I mean, Veronica was still killing people. They're still not. I'm not saying they're reasonable.
Yeah, no. But, like, there's a part where Lisa's talking to the monster, and she's like, you know, you killed all these people. She's like, all right, well, I had a partner.
Yeah. She's like, well, I helped. Yeah. Or, like, when she's like, oh, I'll attach your ear after we bury the body. Like she's very active. Like, she's not passive, and she's very active. But she also takes a lot of responsibility, I think. And I think we're seeing this, like, trend in, like, movies where, like, characters are becoming, like, accountable for themselves. And, like, I don't know. I really liked it.
Yeah, I thought, so for me, like, you know, her mom got killed by an axe murderer.
Yeah.
And she watched it, and it traumatized her. So her mother was supportive of her, whereas the father wasn't. You know, the father
was... The father was such a non-character to me.
Then they get into this new relationship where Taffy's supportive of her, but the stepmother's not.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then you have the guy she likes, which is not supporting of her, but you have the monster who is supporting of her. So you see, like, all this stuff in her life that's going on where, you know, Lisa has these people that, you know, are strong bonds for her. And then you have the other people that, like, hurt her. And she has, like, that dynamic of good and evil on all fronts of her relationships.
Yeah. And I think she really is conflicted with that. And then she doesn't know what part of herself to lean into. And I mean, you do see her protecting Taffy. You do see her giving the rosary beads. And then you do see her, I don't know, going along with the killing and sacrificing herself and killing. I mean, to kill yourself to not deal with the responsibility of your actions and, like, the consequences of your actions, never a good story point. But she also reanimated so she could be together and be happy with this guy, this monster.
Yeah, I thought it was weird because, like, they call it Lisa Frankenstein. But in the Frankenstein, the true monster wasn't the monster. It was the doctor.
Exactly. You know? And in this one, it felt like she wasn't the true monster.
No. It felt like, you know, the true monster was actually her stepmother.
Her stepmom.
Yeah. So, but it was just weird that they called it Frankenstein.
Lisa Frankenstein. And then she didn't really do any of the reanimating. She just did the sewing.
No. Yeah, I agree. Like the whole premise of Frankenstein was he created this monster and he gave it life through electricity. I mean, I get the electricity part, like, that could be considered part of the Frankenstein motif. But I didn't get the whole Frankenstein vibe from this. I got more of, like, a reanimator.
Reanimator, absolutely. Yes. I definitely got reanimator vibes over Frankenstein vibes. Just because, like you had said, it fundamentally is going against the story. And Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, is so driven by creating life and, like, creating all this out of life. Whereas in the reanimator, he's just trying to build them back together.
Yeah, Poor Things was more of a Frankenstein
story. Poor Things was absolutely more of a Frankenstein story. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. I totally agree with you there. But again, like, both of these stories are about, like, I mean, if you look at the character of Bella and you look at this monster in this, like, you can see them gaining that same sense of autonomy, though. And I do love Frankenstein's monster. You can always tell when people haven't read the book or know the original story versus when they talk about Frankenstein's monster. Because Frankenstein, like you had said, Dr. Frankenstein is the monster. Frankenstein's monster, the creature, is not. I mean, he has this beautiful... Who has read the book? There's no call and response. This is a podcast.
But you could if you want to.
But if you wanted to, read the book... There's this great kind of, like, soliloquy that, have you read the book?
Yes, I did.
So you know that great soliloquy that the monster has right at the end of when Dr. Frankenstein has chased him all the way to the Arctic
on the ice.
Yes, on the ice, exactly. Yeah. And you know exactly, and it's like this beautiful where he's like, I finally understand my place in the world. I know, like, what I have to do, and I have to remove myself from society. And it's like it's like this great part of the story. And I think in a Frankenstein story, you have to have that. I think you have to have this creature come to this moment of like realization, because that's them fully growing, right? You see that in Poor Things, and I don't think we have that in Lisa Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's not the point.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I mean, there was no climactic ending to this movie where you're like, oh, you know, it was just like a nice ending for everyone all around.
Yeah, I mean, and as nice as it could be, the dad and Taff, I mean, I feel like who it didn't really work out for was Taff, because I don't think the dad ever loved Janet, and I think Taff did. I think Taff really loved Janet.
Oh, 100%. But I think, like, the father got the daughter he wanted at the end.
Yeah, because like
he's getting Taff. He's like, come on, let's go get this.
Let's
know?
Like do burgers and like, yeah. The dad didn't. The dad was so checked out from life.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like he, I don't know. It was just, I think he just wanted someone to bond with, and he got Taff.
And he got Taff, and he was like, that's fine. And I think too, like you can kind of see like their parallels, like. Lisa comes home right in the beginning and she breaks the mirror and like you just see Janet just like reaming her out for it, and then you just see like the dad and Taff like sitting on the couch like in sync almost like eating cereal. Like you can kind of see like the parallels of like how they really are like connected.
Yeah, they bonded better than him and his real daughter.
Yeah, but it also felt like they bonded better because Taff was pushing the bonding. It felt like the dad didn't want to bond with anyone. And Taff talks so much. How could you not bond with her?
Right, right. She's like that annoying friend that you like. You love having him around, but at some point you're like, you know, you have a fill and you have to get away. Like, I'm going home.
Exactly, exactly. Like, I don't know. I really liked the character of Taff. Like in the trailers, I didn't know how good she would be. I thought maybe she'd be a little grating, but she's not. She's really genuine.
Yeah, she has a pure thought and a pure heart for this situation. And she really does want to do best for the person that, you know, she considers her sister. She doesn't look at it as like a stepsister. She doesn't say like, she's like, you are now part of my family.
Exactly. And I love that. And because in all these stories, time and time again, you would see the reverse of that.
Oh, 100%. Like it's very stereotypical to think of like a stepfather, stepmother, where it's not all Brady Bunch. You know, you get more of like a, you know, they don't like each other because their stepbrothers and stuff.
Yeah.
You're not my real family, you know, like things like that. And in this, you don't get that from her, you know?
Exactly. You don't. You see the embracing and you see like the, let's be friends, let's be sisters, let me support you. And I think at some point, Lisa doesn't know how to handle that.
Yeah, I think she went into it because the mother is what she pictured as being a stepmother. She's like, yeah, you know, this is who this person is. So with Taff, she was kind of like sketched off a little bit. Like, wait a minute, I don't know if this is true or if you're really just playing me. And then that's a realization in the car when she goes, no, I see it and I know you truly love me.
Exactly. And there was one line, I thought it was so funny, when Janet kind of appears behind Lisa and she goes, oh damn it, Janet. That made me think of Rocky Horror.
Right,
I like that line a lot. I thought that was very funny. The movie is good. The movie is funny. Like I said, I watched it with my dad and we were laughing a lot. Like I laughed more than I thought, because I thought it was good. Like, I love when they're like wearing the peach rings and like they're talking and like she's like talking about the cure and he's thinking that she's talking about like a cure for his hand. And she's like, no, they cure your emotional needs, not like your physical ones. Like, I thought that stuff, like, it was so funny.
Yeah, it was the director. She didn't direct this, right? She just
so Diablo Cody just wrote this. This was actually directed by Zelda Williams. So Diablo Cody was only the writer on this, which is different from Jennifer's Body, where she wrote and directed it.
But you can see her
oh, you can,
fingerprint all over this.
You can feel it. I mean, it's that, remember how I was talking about with Jennifer's Body? It's that language that she uses. It's that kind of dialogue that she uses, and that kind of keeps it like in check. So I think it's very interesting.
No, it was really good. It was really good. I liked it a lot. And I like the fact that, you know, they use music in this like they did in Jennifer's Body. Where,
yeah.
You know, to have that connection like with the monster where he connects with her through the piano, and she's like, oh, you play piano? And he's like, yeah. And then like in Jennifer's Body, it was the band, you know, I like that.
I like it. And I believe, again, I said this in Jennifer's Body, I believe that Diablo Cody loves the movie The Heathers, and I believe she loves the movie Jawbreakers. And I think that to me, those are two influences I see in this film.
Yeah.
In both films, actually.
I can see a lot of like maybe Frankenstein. You know, Buffy.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And Buffy and Buffy, yep, and Buffy. Yep. The first Buffy is very funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. And I like the show. The show was good.
Show was good. Different.
I like Willow. Willow was awesome.
Who doesn't like Willow? Sweet little baby angel. Okay.
I like evil Willow.
Oh.
So, but we'll go for sweet little baby angel with the RA. But I like dark, sinister.
Evil Willow was good too.
Yeah, she was bad.
She was bad. She was Bad News Bears. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for sticking through our Diablo Cody week. I know she has more films that we obviously didn't cover, but these two felt the most similar to me. We got some really fun stuff on the horizon. So like, subscribe, reply. I don't know.
Yeah. Hit those buttons, baby. Hit those buttons.
Yeah.
Become part of the What's Happening family.
Come on down. Like I said, thank you guys for everyone who listens. We do it for you. So catch us next time on What's Happening.